Some of y'all have some messed up property. You called on the landlord and he came by, did what every good landlord to do. He took care of the problem. Got to get a witness here. Somebody said there's a leak in this old building.
Change that. Amen. But what would direct your attention to the Word of God? You can find in the Gospel of Mark, the first chapter, verses 23 through 28. Also, it is printed in your bulletin as well. When you find that and you're ready, say amen.
Amen.
And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Or thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace, and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For what authority commanded he even the unclean spirits, and they obeyed him?"
Yes.
And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. Amen. I want to talk just for a few minutes about confronting Christ.
All right.
Confronting Christ. Now, to the unsaved, this story appears unbelievable, that a man could walk up to someone who is possessed with a demon and simply order the demon to be gone.
All right.
It sort of reminds me of the good fairy in The Wizard of Oz, who said to the evil witch, "Be gone before I drop this house on you."
Yeah.
Non-Christians have trouble believing everything recorded in the Bible. And if we would tell the truth,
all right,
some of us have our own personal interpretations of parts of the scripture that are hard to swallow.
Yes, sir.
You know how it is. Some things we accept, other things we don't accept because it hits us. Trying to get a witness here. So let me take a few minutes to make my case about the accuracy of the demon's confrontation with Christ. Now, a historical record is only as trustworthy as its author.
Yes, sir.
So before we get into the text, let's take a closer look at the writer by the name of Mark.
Yes, sir.
Now, Mark is a Latin name. His Hebrew name was John. Thus, in 10 places in the Bible, he is referred to as John Mark.
Yes, sir.
Now, Mark, to our knowledge, never met Jesus.
All right.
But tradition holds, and if you would read in the 14th chapter of the book of Mark, the 51st and the 52nd verse, when Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, there was a young man that came out to see what was going on with all of the commotion, and he just had himself wrapped in some type of clothing.
All right.
And history records that when they arrested Jesus and they saw this young man, whom Mark does not identify himself as this young man, which is not unusual.
Right.
This young man, they reached out for him and he ran away.
Yeah.
Naked, leaving his garment in their hand. Theologians say that was Mark.
All right.
So how can we trust that he knew so much about him? Well, Mark was a translator for the disciple Peter.
Yes, sir.
Peter was a fisherman, as you know, and he was limited in his education.
Yes.
Mark spoke Hebrew, Latin, and Greek.
Amen.
And he understood the common Aramaic language.
Yes.
Mark is one most theologians believed helped Peter minister in a multilingual world.
Amen.
He helped Peter get the gospel message out to a broader audience. And so after 3 decades of preaching, Peter wrote his 3 letters with masterful artistry. So Mark was not only a good translator, but Mark was also a good teacher.
Yes.
Now Mark was a Jewish Christian.
All right.
Who lived in Jerusalem with Mary, his mother, during the early days of the church.
Amen.
That's when he became familiar with Peter's preaching. Mark later went to Antioch and accompanied Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey.
Amen.
And those of you that are familiar with that particular story, we don't know why Mark returned home to Jerusalem. But because he deserted Paul, the apostle refused to take him on his second journey.
Yes.
So Mark served with Barnabas on the Isle of Cyprus and sometime later went to Rome, where he worked with Paul during Paul's first Roman imprisonment.
All right.
I'm trying to identify and introduce you to the author.
Yes, sir.
After Paul was released, Mark remained in Rome and hooked up with Peter.
Yes, sir.
Mark stayed with Peter until Peter was martyred by the Emperor Nero. And history records that Peter, amen, was crucified, but he was crucified upside down.
Yes, sir.
When they were going to crucify him, he said, "I'm not worthy."
You're right.
"To die like my master."
Yes, sir.
"So hang me upside down." Mark then left Rome, and probably he did that to escape death. But later joined Paul once again in Rome.
Mm-hmm.
Now, note, Mark once deserted Paul.
Yes, sir.
But now, according to 2 Timothy 4:11, Paul says he's now useful to me.
Yes.
So, brothers and sisters, your past failures don't have to determine your future successes.
You're right.
Hey. Better get a witness here. This was a man that left the work, deserted the Apostle Paul, but now Paul says he's helpful in my ministry.
Yes.
So I wanted you to see that the Bible records Mark's journey with historical accuracy.
All right.
As a writer, Mark kept a record of all Peter remembered of Jesus' words and works, and though not necessarily in order, there's also substantial proof that Matthew and Luke use Mark's gospel to write their own gospels.
All right.
But that's an exploration for another time.
Yes.
Hopefully now you better understand the man who wrote the gospel of Mark.
Amen.
He was the man who wrote down Peter's first-hand account of the life and ministry of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Now let's take a closer look at this record of the demonic encounter. I know that's what you've been waiting for. Mark writes that Jesus was in Capernaum. Now, Capernaum was a wealthy city, but yet it was filled with sin and decadence.
All right.
It was located on the northwestern shore of the Sea of Galilee.
You're right.
Now, Mark's gospel in this first chapter, he said, 4 fishermen, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, accompanied Jesus into the town because it was their hometown.
All right.
The Bible said they forsook their nets and followed Jesus.
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters, what have you given up?
All right.
To follow the Lord.
That's good.
Better get a witness here.
Amen.
You know, it just is necessary that if you're going to follow him and be effective, you got to give up something.
Amen. Yeah.
They forsook all. They gave up their livelihood to follow Jesus.
Yeah.
So they followed him just simply because he said, "Follow me."
Yeah.
And so they followed him in this chapter. Mark records they followed him to the synagogue where he began to teach.
Yes.
Now, in the synagogue, amen, you can liken that to the modern day church.
Mm-hmm.
A demon-possessed man.
All right.
Was in the synagogue.
Hmm.
Now, we don't know if he attended regularly.
All right.
Or he just showed up because he heard Jesus was preaching.
Yeah.
Kind of get a witness here. You know how you show up when you know certain people are preaching. Amen.
Amen.
I hope it was the latter, because if this man was a regular worshiper,
all right,
he was worshiping in a spiritually dead church.
You're right.
Let me let that soak in.
Yes, sir.
If he was a regular worshiper,
yeah,
he obviously was in a dead church.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Because you mean he's going to come to church Sunday after Sunday?
All right.
Demon possessed, acting a fool all the time.
Yeah.
And it's just every Sunday occurrence.
Sunday. Yeah.
Well, the church probably, if it was a spiritually dead church, it would have to have been one that had a form of godliness.
All right.
But denying the power thereof.
Yes.
How else could we explain this chronic possession? Now, this is not my method, but if Minister Sally was preaching,
all right,
he would now tell you to tell your neighbor.
Yeah.
Church ought to change you.
Yeah.
Tell somebody, church ought to change you.
Yeah.
Change. It's the same if you got an issue, a problem,
yeah,
a sin issue, a condition.
Yes, sir.
And you come here Sunday after Sunday,
all right,
and there's no change. Something wrong.
Amen.
If you read verse 21 and 22, you discover that most of the people present were amazed at the manner and the content of Jesus' teaching.
Yes.
Because he taught with direct authority from God. They were astonished, amen, because his method of teaching was in sharp contrast to the scribes, whose knowledge was derived from tradition and quote from their predecessors.
Yeah.
While they stood amazed, a man with an unclean spirit,
all right,
broke out in a strong outburst. He apparently didn't like what he heard. So he took action. He just blurted out whatever came across his mind.
All right.
And I want us to notice three things about this demon's action.
Yes, sir.
And I'll be through. The first is he confronted Christ. He confronted Christ. The demon possessed man said to Jesus, the Son of God, let us alone. What are we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Are you come to destroy us? What strikes me in this man's confrontational tone? Jesus had not spoken one word directly to this man.
You're right.
He was just preaching.
Yeah.
Just like I just be preaching, and other preachers just be preaching, not talking to you. But all of a sudden you get this indignation. He talking to me.
Right.
He repeating something I said.
Yeah.
He said, leave us alone. Now, like mama always would say, the hit dog cried aloud. Help me, Holy Spirit. Y'all know what that means. Some young folk may not know, but the hit dog cried aloud. As if you throw a rock at a pack of dogs, the only one that's going to cry out is the one that got hit. So this man trying to blend in the congregation, demon possessed, Jesus preaching the word, all of a sudden he cries out with a loud outburst. He got hit. There's a very good explanation for his spontaneous outburst. This man and Jesus they represent opposing forces.
Yes, sir.
Satan is diametrically opposed to the holiness of Jesus. Like oil and water, they don't mix. See, some of us trying to mix stuff all up. We trying to mix Jesus and the world together, and that just don't work. When Jesus shows up, Satan gets upset. Those same opposing forces alive are alive and well still today.
Yes.
On the one hand, we have Christ, our Savior, and those who believe in Him. On the other hand, we have those who laugh and reject the notion that they need a Savior.
Yes, sir.
Some of you have tried to witness to others and share Christ with someone, only to have them say in a confrontational tone, you trying to witness to them, you trying to invite them to Christ, you trying to invite them to church, and they're saying, let me alone.
Yes, sir.
I don't need that church stuff. Sounds like the demon-possessed man, right?
Yeah.
The world is full of sin-sick people.
All right.
Who aren't ready to believe the teachings of Christ.
Yes.
So they confront Christ in the same way this demon-possessed man did. They say, leave us alone.
All right.
The man with this demonic spirit had the same choice as the rest of the church that day. He could have heard and believed. But he chose to reject and defy.
You're right.
I'm glad we have the Bible, and it gives us the chance to see how, amen, other men fared with choices.
Yes, sir.
There's a contrast between Abraham and Lot.
Yes, sir.
Moses and Egypt.
Yeah.
Joseph and Potiphar's wife.
All right.
Daniel and the king's meat.
Yes.
And of course, there's Jesus Christ, amen, who made the best choice.
Yes, sir.
When in the Garden of Gethsemane, he turned his face toward Jerusalem.
Yeah.
With a willing heart. Those were all wise choices.
All right.
But we can also learn from bad choices. Can I get a witness here?
Yes.
You need to know, brothers and sisters, that you can learn some things without having to go through that thing.
Amen.
Can I get a witness here? So we learn from bad choices. Adam's choice cost him Eden. Esau's choice cost him his birthright.
Yes, sir.
Lot. Choice cost him his home and his herds.
Yes.
Absalom's his father's throne.
Yes.
Saul his kingdom.
Yes.
Pilate Agrippa and Felix immortality.
All right.
Demas his discipleship.
Yes.
And Judas his apostleship.
Yeah.
Now if you don't know none of these men, Satan's trap has been laid for you.
Yeah.
Because it is God's agenda for us that we would study His Word.
Yeah.
Can I get a witness here?
All right.
For men who know nothing of history are apt to repeat it. Is that right?
Amen.
History is replete or full of stiff-necked men and women who stopped up their ears. Now, the demonic spirit dared to confront Christ because the message he heard from Christ was in direct conflict with his own evil spirit.
You're right.
But that's not the worst of it. Not only did he confront Christ, but secondly, he knew Christ.
Yes.
Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Listen to the account in Mark's gospel. Mark writes that the man said, I know thee.
Yeah, yeah.
Who thou art, the Holy One of God.
Yeah.
It's one thing to challenge Christ when you don't know Him.
Yeah.
But oh, it's disastrous to know Him and reject Him.
Yes.
This man was possessed by Satan's evil spirit.
Yes.
Satan knows Jesus. He once resided in Christ's kingdom in heaven. So he knows Him well.
All right.
But when Satan was cast from heaven and was permanently separated from Christ with no chance of ever going back, Satan, you know, cannot be forgiven.
Yeah.
And Satan knows that. Hebrews 6:4-6 will spell it out for you, and it gives you the reason why Satan cannot repent and be forgiven. Let me read that just real quickly from the Living Translation of the Bible. And it says, there is no use trying to bring you back to the Lord again If you have once understood the good news and tasted for yourself the good things of heaven and shared in the Holy Spirit, and know how good the Word of God is, and felt the mighty powers of the world to come, and then have turned against God, you cannot bring yourself to repent again if you have nailed the Son of God to the cross again by rejecting Him, holding Him up to mocking and public shame. It is a continuous rejection.
Yeah.
And when you fall in that category, there's no going back.
All right.
Satan stands without hope.
Yes.
The spirit that possessed the unclean man knew it. James 2:19 says that the devil believes and trembles.
Amen.
That's why he said, "What have we to do with you, Jesus?
Right.
We know who you are.
Yeah.
Right.
You are the Son of God."
Yeah.
What an indictment against unbelievers.
Yes.
Who continue to deny Christ while demons confess Him.
Yeah.
Help me, Lord God.
Right.
To them, Jesus says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men,
all right,
him will I confess also before my Father, which he is in heaven."
Yeah.
"But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which he is in heaven."
All right.
The demonic man confronted Jesus.
Yeah.
He knew Jesus.
Mm.
But there's something else we note in closing regarding this text.
All right.
The third thing is, he obeyed Christ.
That's good.
Help me, Holy Ghost. Amazing, isn't it?
All right.
Demon obeyed the very one.
Yes.
He tried to reject. See, the devil, brothers and sisters, need God's permission.
All right.
Every time he steps into your life.
Yes.
He has to check with God.
Yeah.
To see if it's okay to do this or to do that.
Yeah.
Jesus told the unclean spirit.
Yes.
To hold his peace.
All right.
Why? Because Jesus did not accept the demon's testimony of his messiahship.
All right.
He knew that it came from the mind only and not from the heart.
Yeah.
Right.
Just think for a moment about the power of the Lord's word.
Yes.
Jesus simply spoke what he willed.
Yes.
And the demon had to obey him.
All right.
There ought to be more of that going on today.
Yes.
With all that power at our disposal.
Yes.
As Christians, amen, we should learn to trust in the Word of God.
All right.
And speak to demons that try to wreak havoc in our life.
Yeah.
Can I get a witness here?
Yeah.
We say that we believe in the Word, and that the Word is a two-edged sword.
Yes, sir.
That it is a discerner of thoughts.
All right.
And the intents of the heart. Shouldn't we be drawing that sword more to combat the enemy? Now look what the power of Christ can do.
All right.
It can make demons flee.
Yeah.
For the Bible says that if we would resist the devil,
all right,
that he would flee from us.
Amen.
Can I get a witness here?
Yeah.
Animal trainers.
Yeah.
They say that the secret of handling lions, tigers, and leopards is to keep them constantly afraid of you and in front of you.
Yeah.
Can I get a witness here? The moment that they get over their fear, they will attack.
Yeah.
They are treacherous beasts that gather courage for an attack when the trainer's eyes are turned away from them.
Yeah.
Help me, Holy Ghost. You can never tell when they will spring on their trainer.
Yeah.
If they have a chance to do it from behind.
Yeah.
Help me, Holy Ghost. Now Satan is just like a lion. He's always going to and fro, seeking whom he may devour.
back from Martell's house, another side of Satan. Let Satan and his demons come face to face with Jesus and see how much courage they have there. Resist the demon's confrontational tactics. He cast the demon out. Can I get a witness here? To know that Satan has to flee when Christ shows up. Can I get a witness here? When Christ shows up, the lame, they walk. When Christ shows up, the dumb will talk. When Christ shows up,
in the name
of Jesus.
the road by any other name. Smell it sweet. So it doesn't matter what you call me. He's still the great I am. Come with us here. Yeah. The name of Jesus. We have the victory. Holy Ghost, is that right? He's the Savior.